she walks into this scene with huge boldness. Now, it says in the Bible many times Jesus spent time with prostitutes, sinners, and tax collectors. We never get, actually, an inside look at that. There are no passages in the New Testament that explain. This is Jesus meeting the prostitutes. This is how he behaved with them. This is what he said to them. We don't know that. But it's said so many times in the New Testament that he spent time with prostitutes and with sinners. Where did she meet him? We don't know. But she heard he was coming. And she came with a jar of perfume. Maybe she stood in the back of a marketplace one day and heard him speaking. She wouldn't be at the front because this woman's wrapped in shame because of her life. Maybe she stood there that day and heard him say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Maybe she heard him say, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We don't know, do we? But she heard something. Maybe he sat down in a similar scene and had dinner with the other prostitutes and ate with them and shared with them. Your sins can be forgiven. Repent and believe the good news. We don't know. But she heard something. And it changed her life. And it made her act. It took her out of her world. And she was so bold to come into that house and look for Jesus. What was her attitude? Her attitude, she was completely broken. You know, for a prostitute to cry is unusual. Often prostitutes are, they've had to bury all their emotions for years. Often they've come out of abuse and they don't cry easily. They're streetwise people, usually got a lot of mouth because that's how they survive. But in she came and she wept. She wept behind him and the feet, her tears landed on his feet. That probably wasn't on purpose. I mean, she was just weeping and then noticed that her tears had landed on his feet. She wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and put perfume on them. I don't know if you are, I don't know your story, but for me, with sexual sin, there is a stain that's left by sexual sin that's very difficult to bear. And you can get a lot of healing very quickly, but other areas can take time to heal, and that's the journey I'm on. I'm very, very healed now. But it's still something that I have to trust God with. And I thank God for my husband who loves me and has gone that journey with me. But for this woman who lives a life of physical touch to men, for her to come in to that room and kiss his feet, that is an incredible action to do to a man in public when you are known as a prostitute. If something radical hadn't happened in her life, she would never have done that. It's a very sensual thing to do, isn't it? And yet she does it, and she does it. She does it apparently with purity because Jesus accepts her touch. I think that's an incredible, incredible thing that she's done here. So she dared to come into that house that day, and she dared to do what she did. Now, she took perfume and she anointed Jesus' feet with it. Now, that actually I don't think she had any idea what she was doing there, but that actually was a prophetic act, because another woman, a different woman in another area of the gospel, does the same thing. And Jesus said it was a prophetic act. She's anointing me for my burial. That's just an aside. But she, I don't know how long she'd been saved. It can't have been very long. Jesus only had 3 years of ministry. This was a radical salvation, reading between the lines. And she gave what she had to him. When the Pharisee who'd invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she's a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Simon said to himself, he didn't say it out loud, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him, that she's a sinner. He doesn't love Jesus. He has brought him to the house, maybe to test him or expose him. He's challenging this idea that Jesus is some kind of prophet, and he's looking for anything that will disprove that. And so he's thinking to himself, if he knew what she was, he would know, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. You know, the Jews had ceremonial washing to get pure. They would not be allowed to touch someone unclean. A prostitute wouldn't have touched them even. Simon's horrified that Jesus has done this. Now, Simon's saying, oh, Jesus would know what she is. But actually, Simon gets tripped up here. Because Jesus not only knows who she is, he also knows what Simon is. And Simon falls into his own trap. So he says, Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Simon has no idea what's coming. Tell me, Lord. Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Simon's getting uncomfortable. Listen to this story. He's beginning to get uncomfortable. He's beginning to think, is Jesus comparing me to this woman? And you can tell that because of the word suppose. If he was full of joy at that message, he would have said, it's definitely the one. It's the one who was forgiven more. He says, I suppose. He's begrudgingly announcing the truth, and he's condemning himself. Instantly, he's beginning to get his conscience moving here. And Jesus says, you've judged correctly. Interesting, the word judge there, because Simon had been judging the woman, hadn't he? From the moment she walked in, he judged her. And do you know what? We can do that to each other as well, can't we? I think in church, people often find they have to get a lot of courage to walk in the door, especially if they've had a difficult life and don't feel they're good enough. And often there's a Simon ready to judge. And that is something that we must all avoid as well, isn't it? I have to avoid that mistake too. But just at the moment, let's stick with the story we've got. So Jesus said, you have judged correctly. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, Her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. To whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Simon says nothing. The woman says nothing. Imagine the silence in the room while all the guests are hearing this tension-filled interchange, interaction. You know, one of the customs at that time was that you honoured a guest, especially an invited guest, by washing their feet. It's a dusty place, if any of you have been to Israel. It's hot, it's dusty, it's a bit like the UK at the moment. And you would wash, it was a custom that they'd wash feet, that they would give oil for your hair, refresh you, that you would, they would kiss you as you entered. Now, Simon never did any of those things for Jesus. And I'm wondering whether actually he did do it for all the other guests who were there, but only left Jesus out. That is my suspicion. I mean, he's a Pharisee. He wants to impress people. He's not going to do that to the whole room. I imagine all the other invited guests had their feet washed, oil put on their hair, blah, blah, blah. Jesus was left out. It doesn't say that. But why would Jesus say, "You didn't do it to me"? He would have said, you neglected all of us today, all your guests. But he doesn't say that. Simon dishonoured Jesus by not doing those things. The woman honoured Jesus by doing those things. Simon should have used water. The woman used tears. One tear is so valuable to God. It doesn't compare to a whole tank of water. It says in the Bible that every tear is collected by God. Those tears, Jesus accepted them. He accepted her. He accepted her touch. He rejected Simon. He rejected Simon's attitude. Jesus turned to the woman and spoke to Simon. He turned to the woman and he spoke to Simon. His gaze was on the woman and her gaze was on him. And she said nothing. She knew what was going on in that room. She's streetwise. She's not a naive, innocent young girl. She's a streetwise woman. She's seen it all and she's heard it all. But she says nothing. How amazing. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I am badly judged by another person, my instant reaction is to flip, is to justify myself, fight my corner. I can get really very upset if I think people have misjudged me. Well, I want to be more like her. She said nothing. He was enough for her. Jesus was enough for her. His gaze was enough. She had her eyes fixed on Jesus. She dared to trust him. She just looked in his face. I wonder what that look was like. I think it was pure love when she just met his gaze. And she trusted him to care for her in that setting instead of flaring up. How do you handle it when you are misjudged? Are you like me? My instant reaction is to defend myself and justify myself and keep talking until everyone else is shut up. It's not what Jesus wants. If our eyes are fixed on Jesus, you can know him as your brother. You know him as your Lord. That day, how many things did she know him as? Her Savior. her Lord, her Master, her friend, her High Priest, her King. She set her gaze on him. The Bible says, fix your gaze upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. There's a song that says, fix your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of life will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I wonder if, like me, you've come to Jesus at times in shame. Male or female. We can all carry shame, can't we? Maybe from childhood, or that wasn't our fault, or by our own actions. Do you know Jesus is enough for you? He's enough. Jesus is enough. If we just fix our gaze on him, he's enough for us. I want to tell you a little bit about my story, which is linked with this scripture. When I was 28, I became a Christian. I believed the message preached to me in church in Southampton, that Christ is enough for me, that he paid for my sins on the cross to set me free, that all my stains could be cleared away. If I believed in him, I believed it. I believed I was new, a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I believed it. I believed it, and I got off the floor with my baby in my Moses basket. I was a single mum, and I believed it. And I just grasped it. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind. My life was terrible before. I had to go with Jesus. He was my only hope, and he was enough for me. And I just shot up in God. I was sprung right up in God. And it was a very joyful time. Now, over the course of a year, during church services, God started, I felt, to highlight a man to me in the congregation. And I started to really admire him. But I felt he was too good for me. So I avoided him. And over the course of that year, God spoke to me so many times through to so many different people about him. And I started to think, oh my goodness, I think I'm going to end up marrying that man. I don't really want him, because I would like somebody who's like me, who's messed up and is divorced and has some children or something. Someone with a bit of a messy past that I feel comfortable with, not someone who's kept himself and is waiting for the right woman and is on the leadership team and all in the Anglican church and everything. So I took it to my pastors. I submitted it to my pastors and said to them, this is what I think God is saying. I don't know what to do. And they said, we'll invite you, a whole load of people around for dinner once a week for a month, and we'll make sure you are there with him and my little girl. And so every Thursday night for a month, I had conversation with him around the table, and we got to the point where we had a private interview, and my friend looked after my daughter, and I went into the lounge with this guy, and I was able to say, look, you know, I really feel God is speaking to me about you. I don't know if you feel anything in return. And he sat as far away from me as he possibly could. He was sitting right over in one corner of the room. I was in the other. No, yeah, he made it very clear that there was nothing going. And he said, basically, you're very attractive, but you are not what I'm looking for. And I knew by his face, he judged me. He judged me by my past. He judged me because I was a single mom. He didn't think I was clean. I knew it. And I was so hurt. I went away that day so hurt and in pain. I was so angry. And I said to my pastors, it went terribly wrong. He was horrible, and he judges me, and how dare he judge me? And they said to me, shh, you're not to say a word to him. Look at the woman in this. You look at Jesus, and you do not fight to justify yourself. You be quiet. And that's what I did. It was very, very difficult. Now, that guy's name was Guy Barton, who I've been married to for 24 years. But he judged me. I didn't want him because I thought he was too good. He didn't want me because I wasn't good enough. And he judged me. Now, it took a year for God to speak. During that time, his mother was dying in Scotland, and he was spending many hours driving from Southampton to Scotland. And on one of those journeys, God stopped him and said, Guy, you are preaching in Christ. You are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, but you don't believe it. And Guy stopped the car. He was so shocked at what God said to him. I said, what do you mean, God? And God said to him, well, you preach all this, but you've rejected Wendy. And he was absolutely heartbroken. He was totally broken. And he felt like Simon in this story. So he cleared his debts with God. And then within about a month, he asked me out on a date. And he apologized to me for the way he treated me. And we got married 6 months later. So I really identify with this, very closely with this scene. If Guy was here today, he's on a fire engine at the moment, but if he was here today, he was going to join me to talk a little bit about what it was like for him being on that side. So really my relationship with Guy is based on grace, and God did that for me. God spoke to Guy for me. I didn't have to do it. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to justify ourselves. Obey God and he will honor you. No, come to Jesus. Worship at his feet. That woman worshipped at his feet. If you worship at his feet, he will show you his face. Start by his feet. So many scriptures says worship at the feet, don't they? Worship at God's feet and he will show you his face. Whatever you're going through, whatever your moment of shame has been, and we're all broken. We've all got broken. He is our mender. Whatever your situation is, are you wondering today, even if you're listening to this online, are you wondering today, can Jesus forgive me? Can he cleanse me of that thing? Can he do it? Well, yes, he can. If we come in humility and we cry at his feet, let the tears fall somewhere. Get alone. Let the tears fall. Let Jesus minister to you. As we draw to a close now, what I would really like to do for you is sing for you. I've got a song. And it's part of ministry. It's not a performance. Please don't clap. Try not to look at me even. Use this song to bring you into God's presence this morning. And maybe imagine in your mind your difficult moment, that difficult thing that you carry. Maybe you've never told anyone about it. I'll encourage you to close your eyes. And just let those words, then we're going to pray, and I'll hand over to David.
Thank you.
Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." There is a peace that can only come on the other side of forgiveness. And I encourage you to go there. I'd like to pray for you all, and then I'll hand over to David. If you identify with this story, if you identify with what I'm praying, then just claim it for yourself. Jesus, I come before you today, a sinner needing your forgiveness. Please bring me hope. As I gaze at you, not at my problems or accusers, please give me the peace which can only come inside your kingdom of light. I dare to believe that you paid for my sins on the cross. Please help me, Jesus, when I become judgmental of others. Help me to see people the way you do. Be the Lord of my life. Amen.